to Live Well Anyway. I'm your host, Mackenzie Coppa, formerly of Cultivating the Lovely, and on this podcast, we focus on wellness, beauty, style, planning, and life. Basically, life is messy, and here we learn to live well anyway. So join me on this journey as we figure it out together. And just to get us started, I'll go first. And you guys, we have really been going first in Patreon lately. You know I'm going to talk about it because I want you in there. I want you to join us in all of our fun lives that we have been doing. Right now, we are really getting back into talking about our cycles and tracking them and seeing how our lives and the things we are planning correlate with where we are at in our particular monthly cycles. We would love to have you come be a part of that conversation. You can still access our Live Well Love Kit that we had put together for this month. Just because Valentine's Day is over doesn't mean you can't have some fun in your marriage. So we've got all of those goods that you can come be a part of. Plus, it's just an amazing community of women. We have so many good things packed in there, and we would love for you to join us. We have a variety of different levels for you to get involved in Patreon. Head on over to patreon.com/livewelltogether. We want you to live well together with us. It is so much fun, and we want you to be a part of it and learn and grow right along with us. But for today's episode, I have Shell Bruzes back on the show. I am so excited to have her back. It's been a long time since she has been on the show, and we are finally picking up where we left off painfully a year ago. You guys, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. It has taken us so long to get back into these Enneagram episodes, but we have had many requests for us to get through the rest of the numbers because we had only done numbers 1, 2, and 3 before things just fell apart and we didn't do it anymore. So we are back. We are picking up where we left off. In this episode, we are going to be talking about numbers 4, 5, and 6 and how to love those numbers well, what those numbers are all about, people who represent those numbers. I think it's a really fun episode and I can't wait for you guys to listen. So without further ado, here are Shell and I talking about the Enneagram. Okay, you guys, I'm back with Shell. Shell, hi. Thank you so much for coming.
Oh, fun. I'm so happy to be back. Thanks for having me back.
It's been so long. And okay, so what we're doing here is we're picking up the Enneagram shows that we were doing a year ago.
Yeah.
So long. I know. It was like, oh, whoops, dropped that ball a little bit. We've had some people who were not in the 1, 2, 3 category who have been asking, like, hey, are you ever going to finish up that series? I would really love to hear your take on my type and that sort of thing. So we decided for the end of February, we would finally come back and yes, get back on the horn with these. And so today we are going to cover the numbers 4, 5, and 6. So the last number in the heart triad, and then yes, the first two numbers in the head triad. So I think it's going to be really fun.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited.
Yeah, as I was really sitting down and starting to hash out my notes and stuff and thinking about people that I know or stories that I have, or even just like looking at famous people that are these types, it gets me more excited. And especially I think as my kids are starting to get older and I'm seeing their types more in them, then it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like I have more personal experience with each of these types, you know?
Yeah, me too. I think we both have 2 kids.
Yeah,
in the numbers, or upcoming numbers we're talking about. So
yes,
so really fun.
It is. Okay, so we are gonna just dive in here, you guys, with type 4. So I think what we did, I was trying to go back and look at our old episodes. I think what we did before is we talked about just like the basics of what kind of makes up this type to begin with.
Yeah. So
their core fear is to have no identity or personal significance. They really fear that they aren't special or unique. And their core desire is to find themselves and their significance and really be like an individual in the world. So this is the type that is all the feels.
All the feels all the time.
Yes. So
and
many
type 4
feels
is referred to as the individualist, or I like to call them the romantic.
Yes.
So
yes, they have got a playlist for everything.
Uh-huh.
They really focus on putting emotional needs first. Mm-hmm. They're very creative and individualistic. And, you know, mm-hmm. I think things that I've noticed is they really think about how other people feel about things mm-hmm. a lot. Mm-hmm. It's not just their own feelings. They're very, you know,
empathetic.
Yeah. Yes. And conscientious mm-hmm. of other people's feelings around them. Mm-hmm. For a very short time, about a little over a year ago, I went on a few dates with a 4. Remember this?
Yes.
And it was like every date we went on, it was like, so how do you feel about that? Like anytime that I would say anything, it was like, how do you feel about that? I was like, and it reminds me, there's this quote in 2 Weeks Notice, the movie with Sandra Bullock.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's playing chess with his driver, and the driver is talking about women. And he's like, women, they just make you talk about your feelings until all your breath is sucked out your body. That was sort of what I felt like dating this guy, because it was like everything, like, and I, at first it was refreshing, like, oh, he cares about my feelings, like, that's so funny. But then, like, I'm a 3, I repress my feelings, like, I don't want to feel them whenever possible. And so when it was like, why did you pick that for lunch? What made you feel like that was the I was like, I can't do it. I can't have feelings about this. I just picked this for lunch. Like, give me a break.
Oh, that was so good.
Yeah. So he was very nice, but man, there were lots of feels. Lots of feels going on.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah. But I think it's really interesting. Like, I don't know if we talked about this on last year's show, but I want to point out where the numbers go in stress and in health.
Yes.
So in growth or in health, a 4 goes to a 1, which I think is mm-hmm. a lot more grounding for them yeah. and helps them to be more organized, because 4s can be a little more flighty and, mm-hmm. you know, like just experiencing all the feels. And so when they go to their 1, it's a little bit more organized and
yes.
driven and put together and, you know, just like pulled together, I think. Mm-hmm. And then they go to a 2 in stress. So mm-hmm. How have you seen that play out? Like, how they go to a 2 in stress?
Well, I think that they get a little bit clingy.
Yes.
And maybe a little like over involved.
Yeah.
Or just like, they just really needy, really, really needy. Mm-hmm.
I think being needy, and also like, all of a sudden, some of that neediness can look like helping other people. Like, they're finding yeah. their significance and helping other people and being like in that role. Like yeah. that's the strength of a 2, is being helpful. But when you're going to that number in stress, you're exhibiting kind of the worst qualities
right.
of that number. And so it's yeah. like, I am going to help you to a degree that is not healthy.
Right. Yeah. That's just... like, it's stepping into someone else's space, you know, yeah. and not respecting privacy or not respecting their wishes or their boundaries, or, you know,
yeah,
I that's kind of what I see.
Yeah. Yeah, for what? Sure. Mm-hmm. And so we each have one of these. We
yeah,
each have a daughter who is a 4.
Yep.
And this has been real, or at least, you know, we know the whole thing about don't type your kids, you know, whatever. It's been really helpful yeah. for me.
It's so helpful.
Yeah. Have that.
And I don't think, well, for one thing, we're not Enneagram experts. We're just a yeah. couple of friends who love to talk and learn. And, you know, like, we love to bounce it off each other. Yeah. I think it's a really good like starting point to, and it's yes. super helpful, but we're not trying to box our kids in.
No.
I mean, I honestly, it's helpful for me to understand mm-hmm. like how they tick, why they're, you know, especially when it's like, we're dealing with a lot of emotions, right? You know,
yeah.
That's really helpful for me as a mom to know yes. for my 4. But
yeah, I think especially when it's not our own type. And mm-hmm. so we don't have the same perspective as they do. And
right.
it's hard to understand why they're doing what they're doing. Uh-huh. And so when I am able to look at it more through this lens and be like, oh, okay. Like, as I have more background information on what a four is and why they do what they do and what makes them tick, then mm-hmm. I have more grace for them and what they're yes. doing. It helps me to parent them in a way that is more individualized to what they need, where exactly. I might not have otherwise known mm-hmm. how to do that. Mm-hmm. And so I do feel like that has been really helpful. But you yeah. know, as they get older too, is I feel like as their numbers start to be a little bit more crystallized, and you know, my youngest, mm-hmm. she's only six. And so it's really been pretty recently that I've been like, oh, I think you're four. And I'd been toying with that idea for, I don't know, maybe 6 months. Like, this really does, like, she's very sensitive. She's easily mm-hmm. embarrassed. She's always mm-hmm. thinking about what other people are thinking or feeling mm-hmm. or how things affect other people's feelings. Yeah. And we were on the way to school one day, and she piped up in the back seat and said, "Mom, I just really wish I had blonde hair, like really blonde hair." And aww. I was like, oh, well, that's interesting. Like, Emmy really wants her hair to match my hair. She wants to have the same color hair as I do. And you would be the only one in our family who was just like super blonde. So what makes you want to have blonde hair? And she said, well, I just think it would make me special. And I really like to feel like I am the only one and I am special. And it was like she was reading from an Enneagram book.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Like, yep. Exactly the words. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to be unique. I want to be the only one. I want to feel like I have that significance and stand out and be an individual. Yep. And mm-hmm. and she generally is the one who's like, I want, you know, purple. Oh, what are they called? Why did I not? My mind is going blank. I can see it in my brain. Extensions. That's what it was. She wanted purple extensions. And then she decided for Christmas, she's like, I want rainbow extensions because I want to be able to put in whatever color I want to match my mood. And she's so funny. She came in my room the other day. I was working and she had put the extensions in herself. And she just came in and she said, "Mom, I dyed my hair purple." And I was like, "Looks great, kid. You're doing awesome." She was like, "So you're cool that I dyed my hair purple?" And I'm like, "I know it's an extension." So I was like, "Yep, looks good." So happy for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Fours want to shine. They want to know that they are shine. They want to be complimented, right? They need that. And words of affirmation are really important.
Yes. And they're very focused on beauty. Like they
surrounding themselves with beauty.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Making their space beautiful, finding mm-hmm. the beauty in everything. You know, Ellie, if I look at the girls' bedroom, you know, they each kind of have half, and she's the one who has colored pictures and drawings and stuck them up on the walls around her bed. Mm-hmm. Like Emerson is much more kept hers, like the way I designed the room, you know, with it being mm-hmm. a certain decor style. Emmy's pretty much stuck with that, where Ellie is like, "Let me make this me," you know, and like
love it.
Splattered all of herself so all over sweet. And like creative and, you know,
it's so sweet.
Just so different how
I love
they
it.
Both are. Yeah.
Yeah. That's an adorable contrast.
Yeah. I was just looking at it last night when I was putting them to bed. I was like, wow, that is a pretty stark difference between the two. But then, like, I think also both of us, to a certain extent, can relate to the four because I have a four wing and you go to a four in health, right?
In health, yeah. Twos go to four in health, yep. Yeah, so when I see Lucy. Like my Lucy's a four, we think, you know, we're not going to box her in fully, but she is so funny and so cute. And like anytime that she's, it's like, there's a Disney movie playing in her head at all times, you know, like, and she, you'll see her outside. It's my favorite, like, say it's snowing today and she'll be outside with an umbrella and all dressed up, like super fancy and like dancing all by herself, but just like, so in this state of total bliss. And I do remember as a little girl going there myself, like Superman, you kind of living in your imagination, you know, and it's very beautiful and good and wonderful. But it's pretty funny.
Yes.
So
That's the perfect descriptor. Like they're in a Disney movie because they're just like swept away and everything is beautiful. And how can you romantic. Make it more beautiful? And it's funny, but and I think I relate to certain parts of it where, you know, sometimes when you get your Enneagram number and you're like, that exposes the stuff in me that I didn't really want other people to know.
Right.
And exactly. I feel like some of that with the four, like, oh, it'd be great if my two wing was stronger and I was more about people, but oh no, I'm more about being an individual. Like, isn't that fantastic? But yeah, but I see it like, I mean, you have one of the most beautiful Instagram feeds around.
Oh, thank
like,
you.
You know, it's just so curated and you find the beauty and you're always, you know, hashtag joy found. Like you do such a good job when you are in health of pressing into that and finding those things and creating beauty. And I love to see you when you're in your four. Okay, ladies. So this month am heading into really making some dietary changes to try to just like, you know, get on track and feel good. And it has been really hard to figure out what to have for breakfast because normally I would turn to one of my protein shakes, but even those have sugar in them. And so I haven't known what to do until I realized that Magic Spoon was the answer, you guys. I love this cereal. I love that it tastes amazing, which you wouldn't expect from a healthy cereal. Like it's actually legitimately good. My kids love it. I love it. And I can use it as a delicious way to get my protein in the morning and actually have a good start to my day. And it also is just kind of like fun because it tastes amazing and it tastes sugary, but it's not. So if you aren't familiar with Magic Spoon, it is a cereal brand that has zero sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net carbs in each serving. It only has 140 calories per serving, and it's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. All exactly the things that I am looking for as I head into these dietary changes. Plus, the fact that my kids can eat the same thing that I am eating just simplifies my life completely. Magic Spoon also just released a brand new variety pack that is now featuring peanut butter. They released peanut butter as a limited edition flavor in 2020 and it sold out 3 times. So finally, after it had gotten so much love, they just decided to keep it permanent and add it to the best sellers variety pack, which also includes frosted, fruity, and cocoa, which is one of my favorites. My kids love putting together the cocoa and the peanut butter. Hello, it tastes like Reese's. It's amazing. And it tastes exactly like regular cereal from your childhood, but it's just super nutritious. So go to magicspoon.com/livewell to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code LIVEWELL at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/livewell and use the code LIVEWELL to save $5 off. And thank you so much to Magic Spoon for not only sponsoring this episode of Live Well Anyway, but saving my mornings. It actually, it reminds me, last year you were looking for houses.
Yeah.
And you took me to go see a house. And you were in your four.
I remember this house.
Yes, it was like, because it was like a Disney movie house. It was beautiful. And I could tell you were just like, oh, even though it was not like ideal, and which I perceived.
I was going to throw out all the practical sides of life, right? And just be like, I want to live in this house because it's so old fashioned and pretty and quaint and lovely.
Yes. And then I roll in and I'm like, these are single pane windows and you have no yard. And like, I just start like picking the place. Oh, what is your, you know, cost going to be for heating this place? You're like,
David rolled in and had the same exact thoughts.
Yes.
I was crushed momentarily.
I know.
No, it's fine.
It's like, I have to.
It was a good thing.
Your friend.
I probably would have bought that house.
I know.
To me.
I know you would have. And I was like, I get it. It's beautiful. But let's have a real discussion about this. But you were just like, you were in your four, because I remember you being like, look at the trees on the, like, down the street that are like, it was that perfect time of year too, where everything
was, yeah, it was spring.
It was like, it was just enticing you. It was like,
yes,
in, and it was just all the beauty. Luckily, luckily you avoided what could have been a really disastrous situation.
But right, it was, exactly.
You were so cute because you were just like in it for the beauty. And there was part of me that wanted it for you, because it was like, if anybody could just take it and make it even more beautiful, it's you. You know, aww. But it was like, oh, I feel like I have to bring the hammer.
Thank goodness. Yeah. Oh, I got to surround myself with people who actually have some practical, like, good ideas about life.
Like, let me talk to you from an efficiency and planning standpoint. This is not a good decision. Yeah.
Amen.
So, and that's why we work well together, because we balance out. You force me to find beauty and add beauty and do all of that. And and then I can, you know, balance out the rest of it. So
it's, absolutely.
Yeah. So, some people I thought were interesting that are a four. We did this on our episode last year. So we wanted to find some like famous people that you can relate to and think of. Mm-hmm. Now, not all of these would you necessarily want to relate to, but it'll give you kind of an idea. So Angelina Jolie, obviously very individualistic. Mm-hmm. Johnny Depp, another one.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yep. Taylor Swift, if anybody is all in their feels, definitely Taylor Swift. And then Kate,
you're gonna see a lot of Kate now, Winslet. I was gonna say, you just see a lot of poets, musicians, artists, and actors as force.
It's interesting, as I was making my notes for this episode, to see there are definitely certain professions that tend towards, you know, the different types, which is really interesting to see kind of play out. So
a Bible character that's a four is King David. So he wrote the Psalms. He's a poet and a musician.
Yeah,
and he was definitely in his feels a lot. You can see that, you know.
Yes.
So anyway, I love picking up on that one. But
yeah, that's really interesting. I love that. Okay. Type five.
Type five.
Nothing but the facts, ma'am. That's
what right.
Type five is all about. I feel like they just, their core fear is being useless, incapable, helpless, like not having the right answers. And their core desire is to be capable and competent. And what I see with a lot of type fives is like this thirst for knowledge. You want to know why things work the way that they work, what is behind them. They're the ones who will, you know, if they watch, you know, a show, they're going to really deep dive into like the history of things. Like, and I do that to a certain extent. I know you do that to a certain extent. A type five is going to go all the way there. Like, all the brass tacks, all the details. They want to know the information and have the answers.
Right.
And it's been really interesting because I've listened to a couple of different podcasts over the years who have prominent type fives on the show, which I think is really intriguing, because type fives in general tend to be more introverted. They are less people. They're more about information. And like you were mentioning last night, they they safeguard their energy.
Yep. Yeah.
How were you saying that last night?
Oh, it's so interesting. They actually like take into account how much something is going to drain them in advance. Yes. Like they kind of like pre-live that, or even decide like, wait, is it worth it? Is it worth spending this energy? Like they're very worried and concerned about conserving their energy and not being too drained, which I think is what is kind of safeguarding them from feeling helpless or incapable or weak, you know, like I think it's sort of a way to be like, okay, this is how I keep myself from having to be any of those things. But, And they're also called, like, so the numbers always are hard for me because I'm like, ah, there's a number, give me the word. They're called either the observer or the investigator, or two different, mm-hmm. you know, words for them. But I'm so intrigued by type fives. I don't really relate well with them. So like when I learn about them, it's all like, wow, that is like, I'm completely the opposite of that. Like I never take into account what it's like. The amount of energy something is going to take for me to do, but then I'll end up on the other end. It would be better if I would do a little bit more of that and I'll be, you know, I'll crash into the wall. Yeah. And so, but yeah, I just love that. That we were talking last night and you brought this up, that they really, a lot of times need to know the why behind what they're doing, mm-hmm. or, you know, why are we doing this?
Yeah. Yeah. It's been really interesting in the Patreon community when I've given recommendations for things or talked about, you know, mm-hmm. whatever it is, we have a couple of fives who are like, but why do I need to do that? It's like, they can't even mm-hmm. apply it to their lives or know how to do it until you give them the why. And it's really interesting, as I was even making recommendations to people for the beginning of the year with like what books they should be reading to be thinking about habits mm-hmm. and stuff, like my type fives, and I know she's going to be listening to this and she's going to crack up, but like they love Atomic Habits. There's not a lot of feels in there because, you know, now we've moved into the head center. They're not about feeling.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's a good thing to be talking about for sure.
They are mm-hmm. thinking about things. They are working it out in their brains. And so mm-hmm. Atomic Habits, that is very just like the brass tacks. This is what you need to do. Mm-hmm. This is why you need to do it. This is why it works. That's like mm-hmm. gold to them. Whereas if I were going to recommend that same sort of philosophy to a four, I would recommend the book, The Feel Good Effect, because it's about the feelings and about, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. it's a more touchy feely version, I feel like, mm-hmm. of Atomic Habits. So it's that, you know, they want the information, they kind of want the rest of it stripped away.
Yeah.
And that really helps them though to be able to move forward in life.
Yep.
When they are in growth, they go to an eight. So mm-hmm. they actually are more assertive with what they're doing, which I find really interesting.
Yeah.
But when they are in stress, they go to a seven. So it's a little bit more haphazard, a little bit less based in reality. Like, I think it's really interesting on the podcast that I listen to with Knox and Jamie, Knox is a five. And they know when he's stressed because all of a sudden he's got 5,000 other podcast ideas for them to do. Like, oh, let's do a podcast about this. Let's do a podcast about that. Like, he's just, like, pushing into his seven of let's do all the things. And then like when he comes back down to reality, it's like, oh, wait a minute. No, never mind. I didn't have like the energy for that or whatever. But I think that's a really good example of like, they are a little bit more like loosey goosey when they're seven, but not in a good way. It's going to end up
in a good way.
Yeah, yeah. It drains them over time.
Right.
So their coping mechanism.
Right. And at their best, this is something I'd written down, but they're visionary pioneers, often ahead of their time and able to see the world in an entirely new way. Because they're inventive and they're smart and mm-hmm. they know why. And they take the time to really process stuff, you know.
Yes. And I think that
internally,
this is one that especially I thought, oh, the people are so interesting. That are because they so mm-hmm. stand out in that way. I mean, you get a lot of philosophers and great thinkers in this that are type fives. I mean, you've got like the mm-hmm. Nietzsche and Einstein mm-hmm. and Isaac mm-hmm. Newton and like all these people who like figured mm-hmm. out all these theories about the world, and because they are the deep thinkers and they are determined to figure out why the world works the way that it works. And mm-hmm. so I thought that was really interesting that it lends itself to those philosophers and great thinkers, you know, all time. But some of these people, I mean, they really have been like, they've taken an ordinary profession and taken it to a place that nobody else has taken it to. Like Annie Leibovitz with photography. Yep. She does it in a different way and mm-hmm. a much more thought out way than I think other people do. And mm-hmm. Alfred Hitchcock took the the horror movie to a different place.
Yeah.
Zuckerberg created this whole idea with Facebook. I mean,
Bill Gates.
Yep. That was the next one I had on there. Yeah. He took all of Microsoft and everything, and he still is doing a lot of this. Whether I agree with what he's doing or not is a totally different thing, but he's doing it.
Right.
Diane Sawyer, the way that she would interview people and go about it. And it's so interesting to me. I mean, she was a beauty queen.
Right.
When I first think of a five, I think of them as being like analytical and never wanting to have anything to do with like as frivolous as being a beauty queen or whatever. But she did. Like it was all about, for obviously she had some sort of reasoning behind that and pursuing those things and that worked for her. And then she became one of the, you know, greatest interviewers, like, of her time. I think that was really interesting how she was able to do that. So a really interesting mix of people in these professions where they're really kind of on the cutting edge of what they're doing.
Yeah. Yep. It's, they're amazing people. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think I have any, like, in my immediate circle that I'm close to, but it's more been like that I'm, you know, that I listen to on podcasts or, well, I guess we have a couple on Patreon and that sort of thing that have given me a different perspective. Like, I'm so grateful. I feel like I've been able to at least be in contact with like at least one of each type over the past year or two to really be able to be like, oh, that's how that plays out in real life.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay, you guys, dealing with stress is a daily struggle for all of us, probably especially so in the last year. And I have tried a lot of different things to help me manage my daily stress, from eating differently to trying to sleep better to taking supplements to doing all sorts of different things for my stress. And while those all help, there's always been kind of this underlying level of stress. And one thing that has worked really well for me so far is NuCalm. So the NuCalm app accomplishes this by interrupting acute stress at its source and by bringing you into the calming brainwave patterns that are associated with relaxation, greater awareness, intuition, and providing a calming sensation. So you listen to this music and it actually helps your brainwaves to calm down. NuCalm is clinically proven in over 1 million sessions to improve your sleep, reduce your stress, and boost your recovery without drugs and side effects. So I have been using NuCalm for about a month now. And I absolutely love it. I do it almost every day. I typically do their 20-minute session. I do a longer session when I'm able to, but by just doing that 20-minute session, it's usually I do it in that time of the day when I really hit my slump, like early afternoon, and it helps me to be able to completely recharge. I'm able to put away all of the things that are stressing me out, come back to kind of neutral ground, and then when I come back up out of it, I feel so much more energized and recharged to be able to get through the rest of my day and be way more productive than I otherwise would have been. I absolutely love NuCalm. The NuCalm system uses cutting-edge neuroscience and consists of 3 non-invasive and non-pharmaceutical items, all of which are included in your monthly subscription that costs less than a daily cup of coffee. The whole process is easy to use and to work into your daily routine to achieve better sleep, reduction in stress, and boost recovery. I have experienced all of these legitimately. It is really making such a difference for me. I am so glad that I have it. So now, instead of the day owning you, you can own the day. Do what I did, own the day with NuCalm, and make 2021 the year you manage your stress better. They have a special link set up especially for my listeners, so go to livewellnucalm.com and get 50% off your 30-day subscription of NuCalm and their money-back guarantee. That's livewellnucalm.com. livewellnucalm.com.
My mom is a five, and it's so funny. We were talking about books and Atomic Habits earlier. She and I, like, we often don't like the same type of book. Like, I'm super like an Anne Voskamp, like, give me all the beauty in with the truth.
Yeah.
And she doesn't like how flowery it is. Like, she's like, I just want to cut to the like facts. Like, you know, it's so funny. So often I will like hesitate to recommend certain books because I'm like, my dad would actually like it. My mom would, she would think it was too flowery. That's how she, which is funny because she loves beauty and she's like an incredible gardener and things like that. But when it comes to like
she just wants the facts first. Yeah. Like that's all she needs. So
well, and she probably knows how, like all the whys to the gardening and how
Do it well. Oh, absolutely.
And like of that stuff. And she can may have like a four wing that she can press into where she
I think she does for sure. She has very much absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's where I got my appreciation for beauty as well. Like it was just from her. So but yeah. I have a list of that I'd written down about how to love a five well. Do you want me to go over that?
Yes.
It's just kind of short. And this is off of I found it on Instagram. We'll link the source, but I just thought it was so good. So how to love a five well: be independent and not clingy, speak briefly and straightforward. They need a lot of alone time to recharge their energy and process their feelings and thoughts. Please understand that their needs to recharge by themselves is not a slight, or it doesn't mean that they don't like you. They recharge so they can rejoin and participate again. And then they don't like surprises or intrusions on their privacy because there's too many emotions. And they don't tend to gravitate, or like it's hard for them to be around needy people or be obligated. So it's so hilarious. Yeah. It's literally the opposite of the two. It really is.
Yes.
That's so anyhow. Funny. Yeah, but it's been really good to like, I have really enjoyed my study on the five, because I don't think I've done as much research on the fives until, you know, we were preparing for this podcast. So it's been super eye-opening for me.
Yeah. Really interesting. Really interesting. Yeah. Just how you, just even hearing you say some of those things, it's like, oh, that I can see that playing out in certain ways, and really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Helpful to know how to love people well.
Yes.
Yeah. Especially when you don't necessarily understand where they're coming
from. Yeah. Especially.
And I think especially like as a two for you, and even for me as a three, like to understand that just because somebody is isolating themselves, it's not a reflection on you.
Right.
That can be really hard to grapple with when you want to like press in and they don't, like, but it's not because of you.
Right. You can't, if you take it personally, you're going to be hurt.
Yeah.
And it's going to cause, problems in your relationship. But I thought that was super helpful to know. Wait, hey, we don't have to take this personally. Like they need space. It's really helpful for my, like my relationship with my husband. He's more five-like than he is like me for sure. So even though he's a nine, but.
Yeah. I think that
we'll get there.
Exhibit some of those same qualities.
Yes. As well. Yeah. He's a nine with a one wing. So I think there's so many similarities and they kind of tie together. I think there's maybe a way that all works, and I'm not sure what it is yet, but we'll get there. Right. As we keep like digging and researching and stuff. So.
Well, and we all have our stronger part in all of the triads, you know, so he probably has like a strong five in that triad or in the head one. That's interesting.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Does that wrap up our five discussion?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. So our last one that we are going to talk about today is a type six. Now we both have, I think, numerous type sixes in our life, and their core fear is being without support and guidance, and their core desire is to have security and support. So these are the people in your life who are really good at playing the game worst case scenario. They can really go there. And they are like on the upside, the wonderful side, they are super loyal.
Loyal. Yeah. The six is referred to as the loyalist. And then on the flip side, the skeptic. So
yes, like they are going to have your back and totally be there for you, but they also might be a bit of a conspiracy theorist. Going to have, like, they see everything that could possibly happen from a scenario, especially the things that could go wrong. And they always want to be prepared. So this is generally going to be the woman who has the purse that has everything in it for every single scenario that you could possibly face. Like they have thought through all of the possibilities. So that can be a pretty intense place for them to live in, especially if they are mm-hmm. doubting the people around them, because ultimately that's what they want, is they want to know that people are as loyal to them as they are to those people.
Right.
And so in stress, they go to a three, which actually makes them a little bit more aggressive,
mm-hmm.
a little bit more assertive, a little mm-hmm. bit more vocal about the things that they are thinking, which can mm-hmm. be really hard. And they also, they want people to understand what they're saying without saying it. So they want to say like everything around it, because they are trying to forecast how you might react to a situation. So a lot of times they don't say the actual target thing. They say everything around it, hoping that you're understanding what the target thing is.
Uh-huh.
And I think they do that even more so when they're in stress, because they are mm-hmm. trying to make sure they have accounted for every way that you might respond to them.
Mm-hmm.
But then in growth, they go to a nine. So they actually mellow out a little bit. They mm-hmm. don't worry as much about the things
right.
that are going on. They mm-hmm. they feel more secure and calm and mm-hmm. like peacemakers. So, mm-hmm. you know, they've got both of those possibilities there.
Mm-hmm.
I have a son who is a six.
Mm-hmm. And so do I.
And so do you. Yes. And it's so interesting. I mean, he's always the one where I'm like, okay, girls, you can go play with your friends. And he's like, but make sure you look both ways crossing the street and make sure you do this. And this could happen. Like he's always like making sure everybody's safe. Like that is very
safety much, first.
Yes. He wants to know all of that. And, mm-hmm. and sometimes like we joke because he knows he's a six. And I'll be like, wow, you're really sixing right now. Really coming out here, honey. But he'll just usually like snicker and like whatever. I remember a few years ago when he was 10, actually, he broke his kneecap. And yeah, it was awful. He had to wear like this leg brace. We called him Forrest Gump for the same. He like couldn't make his leg bend and like this whole thing. But we shortly after that, there were these two birds that were flying in front of our car, like right as we were like, it was just a situation. And one of them, one of them just like powered through and was going to like get past the car. And the other one turned back because they were like worried about the car. Well, the one who powered through, which we equate to my son, Judah, like he just went for it. Like he put the pedal to the metal. He was okay. He got past the windshield. The one who turned back because he was like scared and worried didn't end so well for that bird.
No.
And we laughed. We were like, it's Judah and Roman. Like the one who freaked out and went back. He was that bird. Sometimes you just gotta power through, buddy.
Yep.
But like they definitely, they have that. They tend to be a little bit more the worriers.
Yeah.
Okay, ladies, as I've mentioned in other ads today, I am really trying to make a difference in how I am eating right now. I'm trying to eliminate some things from my diet and just go about things in a different way. And the number one thing that I do to be successful in this area is actually planning everything. If I don't have a plan to work from, I don't know what exactly I am going to eat when, then I fall off the wagon and I mess up every single time. And that is where Plan to Eat, again, is my savior, because I was able to go online and find recipes that I would actually like, because I tend to be a little picky. So I found the things that I know will actually work for me in my life and the amount of time that I have and fit my diet. Dietary restrictions. And then once I get them uploaded into Plan to Eat, which is super simple because I just copy the URL right into Plan to Eat and it auto-populates the recipe so that it can make my shopping list and it can completely tell me everything that I need, then I'm able to drag and drop the recipe onto my calendar. This has made it actually possible for me to make these changes. If it weren't for Plan to Eat, I wouldn't even attempt it. But it's such a sleek system, and it helps me to be able to plan everything in an easy way. I can even create menus that I'm able to repeat over the week, so I don't have to keep putting the brain work in to making this happen. And then I love when I go to the store or I'm shopping for my groceries online, that I'm able to completely see everything that I'm making that week, everything that is on my shopping list. It spells it out very clearly for me, so there's no more questions and I don't have to think about it and put the energy into it, especially in the moment. Plan to Eat is my savior for meal planning. It has been for over 5 years now, and I want you to be able to give it a try too. So go to plantoeat.com/lovely and give it a try for 60 days free. It's normally a subscription service. You pay $4.95 a month or $39 a year, but with my code plantoeat.com/lovely, you can fully experience everything that they have to offer for 60 whole days. And if you find me on there at Bold Turquoise, you can even see what I'm planning and we can share recipes. So go to plantoeat.com/lovely. Give it a try today for 60 days. You're going to love it. And thank you so much to Plan to Eat for sponsoring Live Well Anyway. And I can definitely see, like, when you read the Enneagram books and the things that, like, from their childhood that shape them, I definitely, my mom is also a six. Yeah. And I can see in both her and in Roman the things that from their childhoods that would make them be a little bit more, like, are people loyal to me?
Right.
How safe am I?
Right.
You know, that's hard, but I see that in them because I'm, you know, close to them and obviously have certain experiences, but I can see how things as they were growing up have affected this number being prominent for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another thing I think though, that we had mentioned when we were talking before this, they, along with being loyal, and they can be the life of the party.
They're hilarious.
They are so funny.
They are so funny.
And I think it's partially because they have the ability to be really self-deprecating. And they also, because it's kind of like, because they can see all these worst case scenarios, they can be very sarcastic and joke about it and be very witty. And like, I think that Roman is incredibly witty. My mom is hilarious and is always able to walk into a room of people and make friends and be the person that, you know, everyone kind of like turns to and finds as, you know, interesting. And when we were looking at people who are this type, I was blown away with how many actors are type sixes.
Lots of actors.
Yes. And I don't know
and
why.
Presidents.
Yes. Yes. I'm just, this list more than anybody else. Okay. I'm just going to, this is from the Enneagram Institute. It's their list.
Yep.
And I'm just going to start reading off a lot of it. So Brahms, Mark Twain, Sigmund Freud, J. Edgar Hoover, Richard Nixon, Robert F. Kennedy, Malcolm X, George H.W. Bush, Diana, Princess Diana, Prince Harry, Tolkien, John Grisham, Mike Tyson, Bruce Springsteen, U2's Bono, Melissa Etheridge, Eminem, Oliver Stone, Michael Moore, Spike Lee, Marilyn Monroe, Robert De Niro. This is where it starts to really get into, I feel like, a lot of Hollywood. So Robert De Niro, Dustin Hoffman, Mark Wahlberg, Woody Allen, which I think you can definitely tell if you have ever watched a Woody Allen movie. He's like a type six to the nth degree. Diane Keaton, Mel Gibson, Sally Field, Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan, Julia Roberts, Jennifer Aniston, Elliot Page, Paul Rudd, Sarah Jessica Parker, Ben Affleck. I mean, I'm not even close to being done, guys. Hugh Laurie, Katie Holmes, David Letterman. I think you could definitely see that on the David Letterman show.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But also Jay Leno, like both of those who were running late night at the time were both sixes. Ellen DeGeneres. So a lot of people who
a lot of talk show
people.
Hosts.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Andy Rooney, Katie Couric, mm-hmm. yep. Newt Gingrich, Rush Limbaugh, Chris Rock, which just mm-hmm. cracked me up. But it's like, oh yeah, you could see that in his stand-up. Larry David. And then I thought these were interesting because they're characters, but George Costanza from Seinfeld.
Right. I think,
like, such a personification of uh-huh. what this show is. And then Frodo Baggins from Lord of the okay. Rings.
Yeah.
So, oh. I mean, that is a list. Like, yeah. where the other ones, it was like, okay, I can, like, pull out these few people. That was, like, so many people in prominence, yeah. so many actors, so many interviewers.
Yep.
And I would assume that that kind of ability to think four steps ahead is uh-huh. what makes them good interviewers, because yep. they're looking for, like, well, what is going to cause the next thing, or what caused this that I can yeah. see them being really good
mm-hmm.
at that.
Yeah, me too.
And maybe that ability to kind of to look at things from all those perspectives of what uh-huh. could happen allows them to be better actors.
Yeah.
Also, because they're always kind of jumping to that next thing of what could happen.
Yeah. And having that, like, you know, as they're growing in health and stuff, just being able to kind of let go of inhibitions too, you yeah. know, and
yeah, especially if they have a seven wing.
Right. Hey, there's that
yeah.
too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in the Bible, it's interesting, the types that I found for six was, like, on the faithful, loyal side, they used Ruth as an example. And I was like, who doesn't oh. want a Ruth in their life?
Yes.
But then on the other side, kind of the more anxious, like, doubting, they use Peter. So
yeah.
he was definitely faithful, but he just was afraid as well. So, you know, at different times. So yeah. I thought those were interesting.
Yeah. And looking at this here, it says they, like, dutiful sixes suddenly become competitive and arrogant when they go to mm-hmm. their three.
Yeah, I read and that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's definitely a thing. But if they, like, when they're normally, when they go to their growth, how they're normally fearful and pessimistic, kind of, you know, more negative, they become more relaxed and optimistic mm-hmm. when they go to a nine, which mm-hmm. I definitely see, you know, between my parents and I are we're a little triangle. And because yeah. it's the only triangle that you find on the Enneagram where they all shift between each other. That doesn't really uh-huh. happen with the other types, but, you know, we're 3, 6, 9. So when we're all in health, like, I go to my six and my mom goes to her nine and my dad goes to his three, and, like, everybody's operating great and we understand each other. But mm-hmm. when we go to our, like, where we're going in shutdown mode, yeah. like, I go to my nine. So I really, really shut down. My dad starts thinking of all the worst case scenarios and my mom gets a little so it's like, oh man, this is a recipe for disaster. And especially, I think, because, like, I get really annoyed, not with all other threes, but, like, when I can see, like, oh, you are a three, and so I understand why you are doing what you are doing, and it totally annoys me. Like, mm-hmm. funny example, I started watching Men in Kilts last night, which is
oh!
Sam Heughan and Graham McTavish from uh-huh. Outlander, and they're touring through Scotland. And sometimes, because Sam Heughan is supposed to be a three, and there are sometimes when he is acting on the show where they're not supposed to be acting, it's supposed to be like reality TV, but, like, I see him doing what he's doing and I'm like, oh, I know why you're doing what you're doing. Like, I see through you, and it drives me insane. Yeah. And
I think that's normal for everyone kind of seeing in their type. I yeah. think you tend to see, like, the yeah. uglier sides, because I don't think it's just you. I think I see that yeah. too in my,
yeah,
my number, but that is yeah. so funny.
But then when my mom or my son goes to their three in stress, I have that same, like, visceral yep. response, like, oh, yep. I see why you're doing what you're doing, because I recognize yeah. it in myself. And that's
yep.
totally obnoxious. Knock it off.
yeah.
But then it's been really helpful for me too, like, with my parents, to be able to say to my dad, like, I'm shutting down. And he's like, yep, I get it. And it's like, yeah, you'll find me under the covers. Be back uh-huh. next Thursday. Yeah.
Yep.
Pretty much.
Yep.
So I've got this list of how to love six as well.
Oh, good.
If you want to go over that.
Yes.
I don't. Okay.
So it says, this is interesting. I guess this was helpful for me. It says, be direct and straightforward with me. So maybe don't beat around the bush, which is what I would always tend to do as a two.
Yeah. What they tend to do as sixes.
Yes. I know. Isn't that interesting? But they prefer if you would be direct. It's so interesting. So listen to me carefully and please don't judge me for my anxiety.
Yeah.
Just like be understanding, you know, of that side. Reassure me that everything will be okay. Show me that you support me. Laugh and make jokes with me, which is so important for all of us. But that's when we need those sixes in our lives big time. And acknowledge that I'm loyal, responsible, and supportive.
Yes.
So they need some words of affirmation too.
Yeah. They are incredibly responsible. Like when I look at how my mom cared for my brother over all of those years, like so on top of everything and just like making sure he had the best care and looking into all the options and like such an amazing, amazing job that she did of all of that, you know, and I definitely see those things, but it's so interesting that they want to be spoken to directly. Because it's really like, I remember she was trading in her wedding ring. It was like missing a prong and they kept having all these problems with it. And you know, what she got 40 years ago really wasn't what she wanted to be wearing anymore anyway. And so I went with my parents to the jeweler and she was looking for something different. She was thinking about having something designed. And it was so funny when I was standing there with them, because I'm thinking like, she's going to just tell him what she wants the ring to look like. Instead, she gets the guy in front of her and she starts like telling the story about my grandmother and then like going around like she.
Yeah.
Finally, I was just like, oh my gosh, stop. Like, I was like, do you have a piece of paper? Can we just draw what she's looking for? Because pretty much none of what she's saying, like, has anything to do with what this ring needs to look like. Like, you're never going to get to the point if you like go around all the
things
that you, because she's thinking like, well, I have to talk, because she was trading in some earrings that my great grandmother had left to her. And that was going to be part of what paid for the new ring or whatever. And so like, she was trying to preempt all the responses that he might have, or what he might value the earrings at, or like everything. She had thought all the possibilities.
Yeah.
And so that's how she went into it, instead of, this is what I want my ring to look like. So it was so interesting to see like, oh, this is how your brain works.
I love it. I love it. I love learning more about the different types. It's so helpful. It's so interesting.
So helpful. And, and to see how we can be gracious with one another, because I definitely think that, like, especially when I was living with my parents, we were butting heads a lot more until we figured out our Enneagram types, because what you're doing isn't about me. It's about you and how you see the world and how you approach things. And so if I can try to see through your eyes for a second here, I can have more grace with you and be less reactive in my response, because I can understand that it's not about me.
Exactly. That's so good.
And it doesn't always work, but it's helpful.
No, it's helpful. Exactly.
And I think it helps us to also have like better boundaries with people, as we can see like, oh, this is something that's harder for them. So maybe this is, you know, information that is not best to to certain people in our lives, or like, who can we rely on to be able to help us process certain things or whatever. I think it's really helpful in that way too.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. So good.
Okay, well, I think we made it through our 4, 5, 6.
That was so fun.
It is fun. Sorry, you guys, for coughing. We will be talking next week about 7, 8, 9, and then that will really wrap up what we're doing here.
Yeah, so we're heading into the body, or the like instinctive part of the triad.
Yes. We have one more in the head.
Oh, we do?
Yeah, because
seven. Right, sorry.
And then 8 and 9 are the gut.
That's so, triad, yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So fun.
It'll be really good. Wait. And we both have all these numbers, I think.
Yeah.
In our lives in some way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. It'll be really fun to go over.
Can't wait. Right. Yeah, thank you.
We're back, you guys. We're getting it done. We're making it happen. So
we are. It's gonna make it up good. For last time.
Yes. All right. I will talk to you next week.
Okay. Love you.
Love you too. All right, ladies, I hope this episode has been helpful and fun for you to listen to. Shell and I will be back next week talking about numbers 7, 8, and 9 and finally wrapping up this entire Enneagram series, so be sure you are listening in then. And hey, if you want to like tell your friends about it, maybe you know somebody who is one of these numbers or has one of these numbers in their life. If you wanted to be our marketing team and share the word about the show, we would so, so appreciate it. Tell word of mouth, send it through an email, send it through a text message. There's so many ways to be able to share podcasts these days, and we would really appreciate if you would just help get the word out about Live Well Anyway. Another way that you can help support the show is leave a rating and review in iTunes. That is always helpful. Thank you so much to those of you who have done that already. And then one last way I want to just mention that you guys can support the show, and it's not going to cost you a dime more, is to shop through our Amazon link. So if you go to mackenziekoppa.com/Amazon, it will take you straight to Amazon, and you can buy whatever you want there. It is not going to cost you any more money, but it kicks a little bit of like a commission back to the podcast, which is really helpful for us keeping the lights on around here and helping me to provide for my children. So thank you so much to all of you who shop through that Amazon link. I really appreciate it. And of course, it's also going to take you to all of my curated lists. So if you're ever curious about facial care products or hair care products or any of our gift guides that we have done over the years, you can find them by going to mackenziekoppa.com/Amazon. All right, that's it for today's show, ladies. Thank you so much for welcoming me back into your earbuds week after week after week. I appreciate it more than I can ever say. So until next week, go be bold and great.